This is Mental Selling. This is the sales podcast for people that are dedicated to making a difference in customers' lives and have a purpose beyond just a paycheck. I'm your host, Will Milano. Let's get right into the show. Mike and Derek, let's begin this part of the discussion with this. You both say that success in sales is more about who you are than what you know. I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that idea.
Yeah, I think customers today are probably more skeptical than they have been in the past. And they can pick up pretty easily if you're just there trying to sell them something, or if you're genuinely interested in them, their problems, and how to help them. So the way you come across, the kind of questions you ask, how you interact with them, whether you're really listening or just listening to respond, they've got those antenna up and they can tell who you are. If you are a person that really cares about them, if you have integrity, if you're genuine, they're going to be more apt to listen to you and maybe be open to your recommendations.
Yeah, beliefs drive behavior. It's truism that what is inside us impacts how we show up, the things that we say, the places that we go, the risks that we're willing to take. All of these things are derived by what we think our role is. Do we think we're competent? And do we think we're relevant to the situation? Understanding who I am is a big piece of my success, regardless of my skills. I certainly need those skills, but what I believe about myself and the role that I play absolutely shapes that. And we break that down into a number of subcategories, and you may want to explore those. But what do I think I'm capable of? Do I even belong in a conversation? For example, sometimes we have salespeople who don't call on certain individuals because I'm comfortable talking to this person. I'm not comfortable talking to that person at a different level of the organization because they don't see themselves belonging in that conversation. That's a big factor.
They're self-limiting themselves, how high up in the hierarchy that they feel that they can play. And they're probably holding themselves back, yeah. The idea that buying is more emotional than logical, I think we'd all agree about that. It would make sense then that selling should be more emotional than logical as well.
For sure, there are elements of the selling process that are emotional, meaning that I want to have passion about it. I want to be enabled to overcome challenges. There are those things that happen internally. A lot of that is predicated on my success, predicated on my emotional intelligence. Do I have the ability to navigate those things, the ups, the downs, the highs, lows, whatever they may be? I think that's part of it. But I would be cautious to say that just the impassioned salesperson is always the successful salesperson, because I think there is an equal measure of discipline that goes along with the process of scaling. So selling. So skill complements emotion in this, and one does not make the equation complete. I think that's the way we would look at balancing that.
As we said before, this idea of mindset and skill set, they're intrinsically linked and they're both important and they both have to be there. They're not mutually exclusive.
And it relates to purpose also. As a salesperson, I have a clear sense of why I'm doing this. And I have a sense of how I'm really a problem solver and I'm trying to help people. That comes out with a higher level of achievement drive. It may be a passion about my product. It may be an excitement. But if I've uncovered a need that a customer has that I can fulfill, it's like I have a professional obligation to be passionate about helping them think through the process to get that benefit. So purpose is a real key part.
And it's hard to fake that. Customers can tell, they can pick up on when you're going through the motions, quote unquote, and when you've got a really legitimate passion and purpose behind what you're doing and around the idea of trying to solve problems for them. That's a pretty hard thing to fake. And I would think it absolutely affects salespeople's success rates, their win rates.
Most customers, they don't want to be sold. They don't mind buying if they can see the benefit, but they don't want to have someone that's there thinking about the company or the salesperson's best interest. It's, can I pick up that you're really here for me and for my best interest?
We talked earlier about this subconscious baggage or negative stereotypes that you can see in the media and in TVs and movies and things like that. Those things about selling that are out there, Wolf of Wall Street and those sorts of things, those aren't just carried around by people that are not in sales or by brand new salespeople, but it can be something that even longer tenured salespeople that have been in the industry for a long time might have some subconscious baggage around. How do you help longer tenured salespeople come to grips with that and get past it?
Too many people get in sales by accident, thinking, oh, I should have been a doctor, a lawyer, or something, quote, more of a profession. Some of that stuff sticks with people. Very few people went to college, university to be a salesperson. When they understand that this is a noble profession, that you're really making a difference, a lot of people wouldn't have jobs without you being out there in sales, that people wouldn't be able to take care of their families or their company wouldn't be as successful without the products or services that you provide. When you shift your mindset to the benefits you're creating and the difference you're making in the world, that helps people get off of these plateaus, because too often people are on plateaus, maybe a high plateau, but breaking through is critical by seeing the value you're creating.
There's a quote in the book that says, you are the biggest factor in bringing about your success. Just having that greater awareness of that and what might be driving some self-limiting behaviors can be a big step forward for a salesperson, I would think. Because if they have things like call reluctance and fear of rejection, or they're spending too much time away from selling activities and keeping themselves busy on more administrative tasks, or they're blaming economic factors, or I don't have enough leads and anything like that. This idea of really coming to grips with you're the one that's going to drive your success is something that they really have to internalize. Can you talk about that? Because you guys get into that quite a bit in the book.
It comes down to ownership. It's really easy to point the finger. The market's not this, or technology that, or if they just get a different system or better leads, or you could point your finger all day long and let that determine your success. It really comes down to, do you as a salesperson, or as any person, right? Not just in sales, but in any role. How much of your own productivity, how much of your own contribution to what is happening do you own? That's a big piece of this, especially in sales, because getting yourself engaged mentally, getting yourself equipped with tools, getting yourself focused and choosing the right kinds of activities are the factors that influence then what you do with your time. We all have a finite pool of time. As a salesperson, I've got to make the most of that. If I allow other things, if I allow those limitations to be my obstacles, I could allow those. They certainly will be. But if I choose to say there are things to navigate, yes, this market has limited potential, but how do I expand that? Where do I look? What do I do? Do I get up earlier? Do I do a little more research? Do I show up with better questions? Am I the listener that none of my competitors to our customers, because I hear different things? I'm more interested. I'm more inquisitive. Those are all things that are within my control. The less control I take of my activities, the less success I'll have, to be quite frank. The more I say I can do these things, I can manage my time, I can manage those choices, I can show up and be more productive, I realize that I'm a factor in the buy, in the purchase. So often, salespeople, oh, the only value proposition they're selling is whatever their product is, whatever the product delivers, whatever the service delivers, whatever it is that customer gets in that transaction. And I think we would make a different case. That in fact, the salesperson is a part of what that customer is buying. They are part of the value equation. And if they begin to see themselves as part of the value equation, then they recognize that they can influence what they buy, how frequently they buy. They control that. It's the opposite of that. I'm just a victim of the market. I'm just a victim of the ERP. I'm just a victim of this. No, you know what? I'm the determining factor in those things. And as salespeople, when we embrace that, we really can move the needle. That's part of what we want to speak to folks about is, look, take some ownership, and we'll give you some tools to do that.
I think that's a really good point I want to reemphasize, is this idea that salespeople need to internalize that customers not just buying the product, but them as the salesperson and their experience, both leading up to and after the sale, is part of what they're purchasing. And you're right. I think if salespeople really internalize that more, they'll pay more attention to how they show up in the room and what sort of value they deliver, because it is more than just shining a light on product X or service Y or Z, that sort of thing.
You talk about self-limiting behaviors. All of us have comfort zone, a mental paradigm of what we believe we can accomplish. It may be a very broad, high-level one, or maybe a more restricted one. The question is, as a salesperson, can I step out of that comfort zone and try something new and build those skills and expand that mindset? We have in the book a model called the sales congruence model, through a different lens of five different dimensions to consider to increase your sales success. One is a view of your bill selling, first of all. What do I view selling as? Is it a noble profession? Number two, view of abilities. Do I believe I can sell the way my company is asking me to sell? Is it congruent in alignment with my values? Do I understand, am I committed to the activities necessary for success? What's my sense of passion and belief in what I'm selling? Not just the product, but as Derek said, the company behind it and me, what I can deliver. And if we want to get out of these self-limiting beliefs and expand our success, maybe one of these leverage points is a place to start. It's not just a skill, but it's shifting my mindset in one of these five areas.
Mike and Derek, this has been really good. I appreciate your time. We're going to continue this series. We've been talking a lot about mindset. And in our next part of this series, we're going to get into more specifics around the skill set required to deliver for customers what you're talking about that they need to be able to deliver. So thanks again for joining the show today. Thank you for listening. And I really hope you've enjoyed this episode of Mental Selling. Please make sure that you're subscribed. And as always, leave us a comment or a rating. Share it with your networks. You'll get more content like this on our website at integritysolutions.com. Until next time, I'm Will Milano with Integrity Solutions. Thanks very much again for being